From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, starter from news, news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first headline. The police has dissolved 7,031 mass gathering across the country following the issue of the police chief notice to adhere the government policy on handling COVID-19 transmission. Government spokesperson for COVID-19 handling Ahmad Yuryanto point to close contact being main causal factor behind the rising number of cases of COVID-19 in Indonesia. No news in detail. The police has dissolved 7,031 mass gathering across the country following the issuance of the police chief notice to adhere the government policy on handling COVID-19 transmission, Indonesian Police Chief General Idam Aziz said. Since the notice was issued on March 19, as many as 7,031 mass gathering across the country were dissolved until now, as he stated here on Friday as quoted by Antara. Among the gathering are wedding parties and crowd at some cafe and other public places. Based on the police chief notice, mass gathering that will be cancelled by the police in persuasive manner are social, cultural, religious, and faith gathering in the form of seminar, workshop, and other type of event that may create crowd. Other gathering are musical concert, exhibition, festival, bazaar, fun fair, and family reception. It also includes sport event, art and entertainment event, demonstration, carnival, and other event where there can be congregation of people. Government spokesperson for COVID-19 handling Ahmad Yuryanto point out to close contact being the main causal factor behind the rising number of cases of COVID-19 in Indonesia reaching 1,046 as Friday. Close contact with sources of the disease caused transmission within the community, Mr. Yuryanto said during a press conference in Jakarta. The number of confirmed COVID-19 cases has increased significantly from 893 on Thursday to 1,046 on Friday, as quoted by Antara, with fatalities having risen by 9 cases to touch 87. Meanwhile, the number of patients having recovered from COVID-19 has also increased to 46. Yuryanto note that the increased number of COVID-19 cases is indicative of the fact that this disease is being transmitted within the community. To this end, the government has called on the public to work together to cut the chain of virus transmission by adhering to the government recommendation to maintain a physical distance at least 1.5 meters between one another. The number of traffic mishaps in Jakarta dropped by 10% between March 15 to 21 after the government enforced the work-from-home policy, according to the Traffic Directorate of Jakarta Metropolitan Police. The number of traffic accidents in the week since the work-from-home policy was enforced decreased to 113 to 126 the previous weeks, said Jakarta Metropolitan Police Director Sambodo Purnomo Yogo. The decline in traffic mishap can be explained by the fact that the number of vehicles on the capital city road has dropped by as much as 25% since work from home policy was enforced, said Yogo as quoted by Antara. The Jakarta Metropolitan Police data show the number of vehicles crossing the city toll road in Sediatmo fell to 56% on Sunday, March 22, compared to the previous week's March 15. The governor of DKI Jakarta had earlier issued a decree about the emergency response status of the coronavirus outbreak or COVID-19 from March 20 to April 2. The lockdown policy in Argentina, which has been implemented since March 20, 2020, is supported by the opposition and the public. This is because the government enforced a strict lockdown policy by imposing criminal law for those who violate them. It was said by the ambassador of the Republic of Indonesia to Argentina, Nini Kunaryati, in telephone interview with Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta Thursday, March
26.
Because for those who violate the penalty, there is criminal sentences, so inevitably the community finally obey it. As for today, we have recorded 41 notifications regarding quarantine violation. Then the public is also given a tool to make complaint. There are 2,500 complaints. For example, there are people who know that he just returned from a country that he should be subject to 14 days quarantine obligation. It turned out he violated. It was also complained. There are already around 2,246 people arrested. Furthermore, Ambassador Nini Kunaryati said long before the lockdown was implemented in Argentina, the Indonesian embassy in Buenos Aires has anticipated it by enforcing work from home for local staff who live outside the city of Buenos Aires to avoid contracting COVID-19. The Argentine government has imposed a lockdown to reduce the spread of the COVID-19 virus from 20 to 31st March 2020. Since lockdown came to the force, public transportation in Argentina has not been operating. This was confirmed by Ambassador of the Republic of Indonesia in Argentina, Nini Kunaryati, in a telephone interview with Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Nini continued that the public still allowed to go outside the house to shop for daily necessities by walking within a radius at less than 2 kilometers. In general, Argentina has now begun lockdown since March 20 and will last until March 31st. Although lockdown applies, there are some groups of community that are still free to do their activities. The rest are only allowed to travel on foot to shop for daily necessities in a radius of less than 2 kilometers. Public transportation are operational. Even Buenos Aires is closed from any city in the country. Ambassador Nini Kunaryati continued the number of COVID-19 patients who had recovered in Argentina is 52 people out of 387 who were infected. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has tested positive for the coronavirus and is self-isolating at his Downing Street residence, but said he would still lead the government response to the accelerating outbreak. Boris Johnson is experiencing mild symptoms on Thursday, a day after he answered questions at the weekly question and answer session in the Parliament House of Commons chamber. He received the positive test result at around midnight. Mr. Johnson said he has mild symptoms of the coronavirus, that to say a temperature and persistent cough. Johnson is the first leader of the major power to announce a positive test result for coronavirus. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau went into isolating from this month after his wife tested positive for the virus. Italy has recorded 919 new coronavirus deaths, its highest daily figure in the outbreak so far. It means 9,134 people have now died from the virus in the country. Earlier, World Health Organization Chief Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus said a chronic global shortage of protective equipment was one of the most urgent threats to the ability to save lives. Italy is the worst affected in Europe. Almost everything has been closed and people told to stay at home. Earlier on Friday, authorities warned that restrictions were likely to be extended beyond April 3rd. According to the tally by Johns Hopkins University, there are more than 540,000 confirmed cases of coronavirus around the world and 24,000 deaths. Some 124,000 people have recovered. That is the news for this hour, read out by Antin Supriyati.
The spread of corona or COVID-19 virus has occurred in a number of regions in Indonesia. The following are some of the handling of COVID-19 conducted in several regions. The first news comes from Banjarmasin, South Kalimantan. The provincial government of South Kalimantan immediately distributed 2,000 personal protective equipment or PPE to all referral hospitals handling COVID-19 patients in the province. The head of the provincial health office, Muslim, in Banjarbaru, said that all PPE aids from the central government had arrived on Thursday, March 26th. Ulin Regional Hospital received a larger portion because until now it has the most of COVID-19 patients. The provincial government of South Kalimantan continues to prevent the spread of COVID-19, among others by conducting a coronavirus rapid test to detect early indications to residents who have clinical symptoms. The next news comes from Bantaeng District, South Sulawesi Province. The Bantaeng District government in South Sulawesi conducted a door-to-door screening to find COVID-19 cases in the community as an effort to anticipate the spread of the new coronavirus. The head of the Bantaeng District Health Office, Dr. Andy Isan, on Thursday said that according to the screening results as of March 25, 2020, there were 46 people listed as ODP or people under monitoring and one PDP or patient under surveillance status. The task force for the acceleration of handling COVID-19 Bantaeng Regency also conducted screening to foreign companies operating in Bantaeng, among others by doing health checks on 54 foreign nationals and 425 Indonesian citizens working at PT Huwadi. These findings show there were 10 ODP or people under monitoring, and after 14 days of isolation, they were all declared healthy. The latest news comes from Samarinda, East Kalimantan. The provincial government of East Kalimantan received 2,400 units of rapid tests or antibodies that are linked to the corona or COVID-19 virus from the central government. Spokesperson for the COVID-19 Handling Task Force of East Kalimantan Province, Andi Muhammad Ishak, told the media in Samarinda on Thursday that the use of rapid tests is prioritized for health workers who serve positive patients confirmed at the hospital. And listener, that was news from Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
We begin today in history with the event on March 28, 1981 that Garuda DC-9 Oila was hijacked by terrorists. The airplane of Jakarta Medan route was controlled by a group, the Jihad Command. The plane with 48 passengers was hijacked in the air between Palembang Medan route about 10 past 10 Indonesia Western Time. At that time, the plane had just taken off after a transit in Palembang to Polinia Airport, Medan. Then it was turned to Penang, Malaysia's international airport. Five hijacked demanded the release of their 80 members of the Jihad Command, who were arrested after the incident in Bandung on March 11, 1981. They also demanded $1.5 million in cash as ransom. Then the plane was flown to Bangkok, Thailand after the hijackers got their demand. The big tragedy occurred in March 31, 1981 at Don Mueang Airport, Bangkok, Thailand, where Group 1 troops from Sandi Yuda Troop Command or Indonesian Special Army, led by Lieutenant Colonel Infantry Sintong Panjaitan, carried out the release operation. The four terrorists were shot dead, and one terrorist, Imran bin Muhammad Zain, was arrested and sentenced to death. We turn to the event on March 28, 2005, about a devastating earthquake in Nias Island and its surroundings. The earthquake happened at 23:09 West Indonesia time, and it was centered in the western part of Banyak Islands between Nias Island and Simeulue at coordinates 2.07 degrees north latitude and 97.01 degrees east longitude, with a depth of the epicenter 30 kilometers. The subsequent earthquake was still felt by the people of Nias Island until April 2005. The earthquake caused more than 1,000 people dead and more than 2,391 people were injured on Nias Island. 18 people died on Simeulue Island and victims in its the surrounding area. The United States Geological Survey stated the earthquake was the 8th largest earthquake in the world since 1900. We end today in history with the event of first facial transplant operation in Indonesia. The first facial transplant was done on March 28, 2006, toward a patient, namely Siti Nurjazilah, 22 years old, who suffered from facial damage because of being poured mercury. The doctor team who performed the surgical operation was a team of doctors from Dr. General Hospital Sutomo, Surabaya. The team was chaired by Dr. Muhammad Saifuddin Nur, assisted by of 42 doctors. They performed the operation for 42 hours. And listener, that was today in history.
Denganmu tenang, tak terfikir dunia ini. Imajinasi telah menghanyutkanku, mimpiku sempurna, tak seperti orang biasa. Karenamu yeah. Seperti orang biasa, aku berbeda. Aku berbeda. Di taman mimpiku, imajinasi telah menghanyutkanku. Mimpiku sempurna, tak seperti orang biasa. Fikirkan indah tentang surga, seakan-akan di sana. Berhayal semua tentang jiwa ku tenang.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on state budget reallocation for handling COVID-19. The Supreme Audit Agency fully supports the government's plan to reallocate the state budget. Reallocation is intended for the handling of healthcare as well as the provision of social security and economic incentives for micro, small, and medium enterprises to overcome the impact of the COVID-19 outbreak. Chairman of the Audit Agency, Agung Firman Sampurna, in his written statement received by Antara News Agency on Thursday, March 26th, said the budget reallocation could be done by using a new legal basis. This includes issuing government regulations in lieu of laws. Previously, the Supreme Audit Agency had met the government in a teleconference to discuss the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, particularly on the examination of the 2019 central and regional government's financial statements by state auditors. The meeting also discussed the revision and implementation of the 2020 state budget related to healthcare, how to provide social security and economic incentives for micro, small, and medium enterprises impacted by the COVID-19, and what to do so that the outbreak did not become more widespread. This teleconference was held because in an emergency situation like now, the government requested the reallocation of activities and expenditures of ministries and institutions. This for priority handling of the pandemic outbreak situation. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati, who was in the meeting, said that the consultation with the Supreme Audit Agency was carried out because the government would reallocate spending in the state budget. It will possibly widen the budget deficit by more than 3% of GDP. She hopes that through such consultations, the principles of transparent and accountable state financial governance can be maintained properly, so there are no violations of the law that can harm state finances. Earlier, Chairperson of the House of Representatives, Puan Maharani, had stated that she supported the government's move to reallocate the state budget for overcoming the COVID-19 pandemic. According to Puan Maharani, the acceleration of overcoming the COVID-19 outbreak requires large funds for the procurement of medical equipment and infrastructure for the purposes of prevention and treatment. She explained that the budget should be used to procure free mass screening test equipment and facilities and more personal protective equipment for health workers. In addition, it would also be used to procure hospital facilities, free treatment for COVID-19 patients, and in efforts to ward off the spread of the virus. Regarding the economic impact of the corona outbreak, Puan Maharani asked the government to prioritize strengthening community purchasing power. She asserted the parliament will oversee the use of the budget reallocation so that its utilization is in accordance with the COVID-19 countermeasure program and its economic impact mitigation. And listener, that was my Indonesia for today.
Setiap waktu, setiap malam, hatiku tenang jika mengingatmu, oh sayangku, ku butuh kamu. Kita kan bersama, tak ada bosan-bosannya. Dulu, kini, hingga nanti, sampai kita tua.
RRI was service Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder. Today I introduce you to Walakiri Beach in East Sumba. Stay tuned. Sumba is one of the most popular tourism destinations in Indonesia for both domestic and international tourists. It offers plenty of enchanting attractions such as wonderful hills, incredible spots to witness sunrise and sunset, hidden waterfalls, and remarkable beaches. One of the most iconic destinations in Sumba is Walakiri Beach. The beach is only 30 kilometers away from Waingapu City, and the trip from the city to the beach only takes 30 minutes by motor vehicles. Listener, Walakiri Beach features not only fantastic sea with clear water, but also amazing silhouette reflected in the dusk. The dust that emerges from the west creates spectacular views. When the sun sets, the combination between dusky sky and the silhouette of mangrove trees makes the panorama gorgeous and photogenic. In addition, the sand at Walakiri Beach has different textures. The coast has grainy and ivory sand. Meanwhile, the sand in the area formed after low tide or tidal flood has a hardened powder-like texture. The two sections are separated by a line. Listener, for those of you who will have vacation in Sumba, East Nusa Tenggara, we recommend you not to miss the beautiful sunset at Walakiri Beach. You are advised to go to the beach at 4 p.m. so that you can enjoy the wonderful silhouette in the dusk. In addition, you can also explore the little mangrove forest surrounding the beach during low tide. There may not be something special about Walakiri Beach during high tide, but the beach looks magnificent during the low tide as the silhouette of the mangrove trees makes the view exotic. Therefore, please make sure to bring your cameras to capture your awesome moments at the beach. Listener, you can rent motorcycle or car from Waingapu to Walakiri to get to the beach because the access to the tourism object by taking public transportation is still hard. Furthermore, you do not need to pay entrance fee to enter the beach. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today about Walakiri Beach in East Sumba. I'm Putri Safri Dadala. Thank you for listening.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
matamu, bibirmu membuatku tak berhenti membayang. Berlalu di hadapanku dan menatapku. Oh, kau tersenyum ayu, lidahku keluh hanya membisu. Ku tahu ku mampu buat kau jatuh di pelukanku. Yakin ku sanggup buat kau takjub pada diriku. Matamu, bibirmu membuatku tak berhenti membayangkan dirimu. Buatku tak pernah senangmu, manjamu terus saja buat aku.
Listener, here is Miss Eleni that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, Voice of Indonesia. Miss Eleni for today is about Indonesia to soon establish a museum of the history of Islamic civilization. So stay tuned. The Indonesian Mosque Council initiated the construction of the International Museum of the History of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, an Islamic civilization in Indonesia, which will be built in the Ancol Dreamland, North Jakarta. Ancol area was chosen as the location of the construction of the museum because of the easy access to transportation from various ways, both air transportation and water transportation, so that later it can facilitate visitors who come to visit it. The International Museum of the History of the Prophet Muhammad and Islamic Civilization will be filled with various information about the Prophet Muhammad's life. The information is sourced from hadiths, manuscripts, literature, and historical objects related to the Prophet and Islamic civilization. Some of the items presented in the museum are the result of 14-year collection by the Asalam Endowment Foundation. In addition to the information about the Prophet Muhammad, inside the museum, it's also presented information about the entry of Islam into Indonesia. The information that can make it easier for visitors to understand about the history of Prophet Muhammad SAW is also displayed with modern technology in the form of three-dimensional holograms. The International Museum of the History of the Prophet Muhammad SAW and Islamic Civilization will also be equipped with an auditorium, mosque, and a large yard used as a pilgrimage ritual. In addition, there will be a miniature of the Grand Mosque and the Prophet's Mosque, which will be placed inside the two-story museum building. The building area of the museum itself covers 1.5 hectares wide. Through the museum, it is expected to be able to make Indonesia a magnet in terms of education about the history of the Prophet Muhammad and the development of Islam in the world. Well, listener, that was Miscellany with the topic Indonesia to soon establish a museum of the history of Islamic civilization. We'll meet again with other interesting topics. See you next time.
Masih salah langkahku, meski impianku hancur di depan mata, masih saja ku tunggu dirimu, ku bertahan. Haruskah ku akhiri? Statusku tak jelas, meski impianku hancur di depan mata, masih saja ku tunggu dirimu, ku bertahan. Haruskah ku akhiri? Aku tak tahu. Apakah nyata ataukah prasangka?
saja.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World. In today's edition, we present a Keroncong song entitled Tanah Air Jaya. The song calls for us to jointly uphold and elevate the nation's dignity in a bid to build and to give service to our country. There is no reason to postpone the services to the country and to jointly realize the hope of the country. Like Keroncong songs in general, the song has beautiful rhythm to be enjoyed. Listener, here is Titik with Keroncong song entitled Tanah Air Jaya. Have a nice listening.
Nusa serta bangsa Indonesia.
tiada alasan untuk ingkar janji. Berbakti pada Pertiwi tak alasan menangguhkan bakti. Mari, mari kawan, kita wujudkan harapan. Tunaikanlah janji bakti, mari nuju kemakmuran. Tanah air jaya.
Voice of Indonesia.
Ingat zaman berpisah,
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safidadala. See you on the next English program.